Morning, church. I think we're ready. Isn't God good? All the time. And particularly when he considered us and there was nothing worthy in us, but yet sent his son to die for us, to provide a free gift of salvation for anyone that believed. And that's really when our lives begin, is when we accept that. Our eternal lives begin just then. Would you stand and join us on this song? Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope, no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. Death was a rest for my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given anew. When morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love, pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. Released from my chain, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom for you. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love. Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. Then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you.
So we're free.
Forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested, my life began. Death was arrested in my life began.
Amen.
Have you seen it?
I lived in a community where there was about 30 boys that went into the service. my brother Bill, he wanted to go in so bad. He was in the Air Force, along with my other two brothers. They were in the Air Force also. They were all three pilots. He went over to the South Pacific on the mission that he went on. He got shot down on Christmas Eve. We got the message that Bill was killed. It's a beautiful thing to know, even though in the midst of sadness and despair, that your loved ones perished so that we might have the freedoms we have. I would like to express my thanks to all the people, all the men and women that have served our country and have perished so that we might have the freedoms that we have today.
Let's pray together. Lord, we are grateful for this country. Lord, by your goodness, we live here. We live here in freedom. And we know that freedom is not free. So we are grateful that in your providence, you have allowed this country to come into place, into being. And Lord, you have used men and women who have given their ultimate sacrifice that we could be free. Lord, I do pray for this land. It is not a perfect land, but I pray, Lord, that you would work mightily. We pray for our armed forces that are around the world protecting our freedoms, and we pray your blessing upon them. Lord, we lift up this land to you. We pray for President Biden and all who are serving with him that you would give great wisdom. Lord, help them to lead well. So I just commit them to you. Lord, we are grateful. We ultimately know that you are the one that has given us this freedom, and we don't want to take it for granted. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. We're glad that you have joined with us on this weekend, and have several announcements that we want to make. Here's the big one. You ready for this? Next week, coffee and donuts are back. Yes, and that's big news. That's huge news. So it's going to be in the back. It's all good. I want to make you aware of that. Also, next week, Pastor Jason and I are starting a new Bible study in the 11 o'clock hour. So once you're done in church here, you can go into the room, and we're going to do a little series on the commandments of Jesus. And so I encourage you, get back into the swing of things. Get back into being together and study. There's four things that at Crosspoint we want you to be doing. By God's grace, we want you to be worshiping. We want you to be studying God's word. We want you to be serving, and we want you to be in fellowship. If you're doing those things, then you're going to be firing on all cylinders. So let me encourage you on that. And then starting next week for the men, 7 o'clock in the gathering space there, we are starting a study called Better Decisions, Fewer Regrets. And this is for all men. This is a six-week series. I encourage you to come out. It's a video series. And we're going to hopefully make better decisions and have fewer regrets at the end of that. That is a good thing. There's other announcements. We have the golf outing coming up. Vacation Bible School is right around the corner. Just want to be encouraging you to read what we have here, what's going on, and plug in. At this time, Lieutenant Colonel Kurt Brooker is going to come on up. I got that right, didn't I? So Kurt and his wife and family, they have been here for how long? 3 years. And they're moving away. They have a new assignment. The family's already gone ahead of Kurt. And Kurt's actually been staying with us when he hasn't been down with the family. And it's been great to have you. I got to tell you that. So, but we want to pray for him and his family. You have served with the Army for how long?
19 years.
And so we're grateful for your service. And so I just want to pray for Kurt and just pray the Lord's blessing on the Brookers. Lord, I come before you and I thank you for the Brookers. I really do. Lord, they came into this church. They plugged in. They got involved. And you have used them. Lord, we're going to miss them. They have been a blessing to this body. Lord, I thank you for their ministry with the children. I thank you for Kurt's ministry in the youth group. I just pray that as the Brookers start their new assignment, that you would bless them. I lift up Courtney as she's dealing with the kids. Just give her continued strength and wisdom. Lord, we pray that as they go, that you would bless them. Lord, may they plug in and find a church and be just half the blessing that they have been to us. So I just thank you for my brother and his family, and I just pray your blessing upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, give me a hug, you goofball. Love you, man. Appreciate it. At this time, we're going to stand and we're going to worship together. Soul.
confess my worth and my unworthiness. My value fixed, my ransom paid at the cross.
I rejoice. I don't have to earn worth. It's automatically there just because God declares it. And I don't have to earn love, His love. And I will never be lovable enough to merit His love. I am loved only because He is loving. It's part of His character that He will not deny. It's who He is. We are loved enough for Him to send His Son to die for us, and Jesus made a promise that He goes to prepare a place for us. And we are going to be able to live with Him forever. Well, the tried and true songs of a while ago really have a sense of the joy that we are going to be experiencing when we get there to live with Him forever. So would you join us on these songs to get an idea of what it's going to be like when we live with Him? There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet, got a mansion just over the hilltop
in that bright land where we'll never go. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk on streets that are pure as gold.
Sing that one again.
Trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. And when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder,
Well, this morning, we will conclude our study in Psalm 23. We've been going through the book of Psalms, and we have taken seven messages to work our way through Psalm 23. And it has been our desire to try to memorize this psalm. So Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Just please stand, and if you're able, close your eyes. And we're going to try to do this out loud. It might not work, but we'll see what you know. Let's start it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You may be seated. So let me do a quick review, because this has been a glorious psalm. I really do think it has been. Week number one, we looked at the Lord, who is the God of the universe, by the way, is my shepherd. And that understanding is so critical to this whole passage. When we know the reality that Jesus died, he is our shepherd. He's the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. I shall not want. And then in week two, we talked about how he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so we talked about this good shepherd of ours and how he does bring peace. We need peace in this world. How he does lead, how he does restore. In week three, we talked about, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And we talked about life is full of valleys and how they are inevitable. They happen to everybody. They are unpredictable. They are unexpected. They are temporary for the believer. And really, they do serve a purpose. It's interesting. That was week three, and here we are, week seven. And there are some of you over these last few weeks, you have gone through valleys. There have been stuff that has happened to you, and some of you have popped out of that valley already. And for some of you, you're still in it. In week four, we looked at your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Pastor Jason had a rod and a staff, and he threatened to throw them at me, which was a great idea. You should have done that. That would have been good. I would have put on the gear, and you could have done that. But how the whole idea that the good shepherd, he comforts, he protects, he guides. That's what he does for us, more than we know. In the fifth week, we talked about how he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And I had two tables up here. I had the table that the Lord has made for us, and I had the table of the world that draws us and how it is good to be at the table of the Lord. Week six, we talked about you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. And we looked at our shepherd is with us. He refreshes our soul, and he blesses us abundantly. This week, we're going to look at the last verse six, which says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So let's get started. We're gonna go through this. First of all, the goodness of God comes from his nature, not our worthiness. I mean, the Lord, he is good, and his goodness is there for us. Every good and perfect gift, it says in James 1:17, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Sometimes, you know, we don't take time as much as we should to sit there and say, how good has God been to you? And just really think about that. How good has he been to you? If you really ponder that for a few minutes, it is amazing how good he really is to us. He treats us far better than we deserve. He is good. That phrase goodness in the original language means that it's good, pleasing, valuable, useful. And that goodness comes from who God is. It comes from his nature. In your bulletin, I put a bunch of verses that just talk about the goodness of God, and I want to read some of those for you. Psalm 34 and verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that takes refuge in him. Psalm 119, verse 68. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. And goodness is God's very nature. Psalm 25, verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in their way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the way, the humble his ways. Nahum 1, 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And I could go on and on just talking about his goodness. Even in your valleys, even in your most difficult time, and young people, you got to get this. When you understand that you will go through hard times, everybody does. But in those hard times, what is God teaching you? How is he trying to get your attention? We know that he works all things together for good for those that love him, who are called according to his purpose. He is a good God, and he does not waste your suffering and pain. We don't like suffering and pain. I don't like headaches. I don't like irritation. And yet, in all of those things, God is working in ways that we can't even imagine. We looked at that he's, when we talked about the valley, how he is building character. He's building endurance. He's building perseverance. He wants us mature. And so you're going to have bumps in the road. You're going to go through valleys, but he is good, and in his goodness, he will help you grow. Joseph, when his brothers had mistreated him, and their father dies, and it says in Genesis 50:20, because his brothers are all nervous. It's like, oh no, dad's gone. He's gonna take us out because he's got the power to do so. And Joseph says to him, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So even in the difficult times, he is good. And it's not our worthiness. It is his nature, not our worthiness. I have had people say, and I hear people say, well, good things are happening to that person because they're a good person. I've had people say to me, when something good happens, well, they'll say, you deserve it. And I know what they're trying to say. They're trying to be encouraging. It's a nice thought. It's a nice sentiment. But it is absolutely horrible theology. I'm a good person? And like, well, you are. No. I mean, the scripture says, there's no one righteous. No, not one. Jesus said in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So it's just the reality that the goodness that you do, and you guys do a lot of good things. The Brookers were here for 3 years. They did a lot of good things. And yet it wasn't them. It was God working through them by the power of the Holy Spirit to do good works. And who gets the praise? God gets the glory when we get that right. In Colossians 1:28, Paul says, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may be present everyone mature in Christ. In this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. It's just that idea that God is, he calls us to do things, but he is the one that works in and through us. He is the hand that's inside the glove that works to do good things. And he wants us, he's prepared good works for us to do. And when we do that, God gets the glory. And so that is where God is good, and he works his goodness as we submit to him. The second thing we see in this passage is the steadfast love of God comes from his character, not our virtue. Again, it's not in us. When it says surely goodness and mercy, that word mercy is the word hesed in the Hebrew. It is love. It is his steadfast love. And again, I could put a bunch of verses in your program that talk about how God's steadfast love is there for you. Psalm 103, verse 17, because of the steadfast love, the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. Exodus 34, verse 6, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Isn't that good that he is merciful and gracious to us? I mean, if you really think about that, and maybe you're all better than I am. We were waiting. We were going to head out of town for a bit, and we wanted someone to come over and clean out our laundry vent. And they were going to be there from 9 to 11. And we're going to take off right afterwards. Did they show up between 9 and 11? What do you think that answer is? No. The person was within a mile of my house and got lost. Do you know how long it took him to get to our house? 45 minutes. I'm grabbing my head and I'm like going, this guy, he can't drive. I mean, he's going to get lost. Like, this is not going to be good. Now, just true transparency and confession, I was not a happy camper. I was irritated. My wife would say that I sinned greatly. I repented, and she would be 100% right. But I look at that, and it's, you ever have those days where it's like out of nothing? You know why? Because all frustration comes from unmet expectations. So I had these expectations. We're on the road. Didn't happen. Sinned greatly, and yet I look at this, and it's like, wow, the Lord, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. That's how he is for us. Romans 5:8, God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And again, it comes from his character. We were dead in our transgressions and sins, it says in Ephesians 2, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind, and we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of men. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he has made us alive. For it is by grace you have been saved. So that amazing mercy that he has. And then he goes on to say, surely goodness and love shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the, it will follow me all the days of my life. It's just that idea that he's faithful. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you if you are in Christ. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And so he is at work in us, and he has things for you to do. And what is amazing is we have to make sure that we are in tune with him through this whole process. Philip Keller, in his book, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, he kind of asks some questions, because I think they're good questions, but he says this. He says, is the overflow of the goodness and mercy for me to stop and stagnate in my life? In other words, God's been good to you. He has been merciful to you. Does it end there, or does it go through? Should it continue on? He goes on to say, is your life a pleasure to people or a pain? Ooh. Do I leave behind me peace or turmoil? Do I leave behind forgiveness or bitterness, contentment or conflict? Do I leave behind flowers of joy or frustration? Do I leave behind love or meanness? Do I deposit a blessing behind me, or am I an irritation to others? If his goodness and mercy, and he has been to you, should we not, by his power, live that out? He's prepared those good works for us to do. We should step in and through that for his glory. And it's never too late. I mean, you might have had a rotten week this week, but this is a chance for you to say, you know what, Lord, you have been good. You have been merciful to me all the days of my life. And I need to get my eyes right on you and get your priorities where they need to be. And when we do that, we're good. And then the third point here, he says, it's just the idea that we have a sure future eternal home. We just sang about that. The end of verse 6, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For David, the house of the Lord could have referred to the sanctuary, the tabernacle, for the rest of his life, that he would enjoy communion with God in his presence. But we live on the other side of the cross. We have a, if you would, a fuller understanding. We know that he has prepared a place for us. And so I just want to go through and just talk about that whole concept of life and death, okay? So here goes. These are just bullet points. We will all one day die. I mean, the scripture says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. So young people, I know when you're young, you never think about it. When you get older, do you think about it? Yeah. I have talked to a great many people who all their friends are now past. When you're young, you just don't think about that. But there is going to come a day when we will all die. If the Lord does not return, it's appointed unto man once to die, and afterwards the judgment. Our life is a vapor. Point number two here. Jesus himself indicates that both everlasting life in heaven and everlasting destruction in hell are real. There is a heaven, there is a hell. It's real. Jesus talked about, actually, hell more than he did talk about heaven. In John 3:16, we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In verse 36, 20 verses later, Jesus said, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son does not have life, but the wrath of God remains on him." Matthew 25:46, Jesus said, "And those who will go away into eternal punishment, and the righteous into eternal judgment." So you're going to spend eternity somewhere. It's clear. And it's either in heaven or it is in place that Jesus calls hell, place of punishment. Dash number three, there is no purgatory. Some teach that purgatory is a place that Christians' souls go after death to be cleansed of their sins, that they have not been fully satisfied during this life. And I respectfully disagree with that theology. 1 Peter 3:18, it says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God." Jesus died. He bore the wrath of our sins for all of them. And it's not like, okay, Jesus, you did pretty good, but Pastor Jason, he's a rascal. So you got to go purge. And you know, that's more me than you. But, I mean, that's just not how it works. 2 Corinthians 5:6, it says, "So we always are of good courage, and we know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we live by faith and not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord." So when we take our last breath as a believer, we're absent from the body and we are present with the Lord. Hebrews 8:12 says, "For I will be merciful towards their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." He doesn't have a memory. He removes. There's no memory of it. It's not like when we die, it's like, okay, he's had this list. No, Jesus, he bore the wrath of all of our sins, every thought, attitude, and action that we have ever had, and he paid it in full. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west, and that is great news. It is great news for a sinner like me, and it is great news for a sinner like you that he has done that. So there is no time where we have to finish off what Jesus has begun. Next point, we should long for heaven. And I know, again, when you're younger, really, it's like, I got my whole life to live. But there is a part, for we know that if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan. It goes on to say in verse 2, "For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling." There is going to come a day when you will leave this body and you will put on your heavenly dwelling. And as Paul says in Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to live in this flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet What shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. It is. It's far better. And yet, while we're here, it is more needful that we serve him and we serve him passionately. As long as he's given us life and breath, and there'll come a day when we will see Jesus' face. Yes, we'll see loved ones in Jesus, but primarily our joy will be to see his face. John 14, 1, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back to take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. And all of that is because of what Jesus has done. So we do. We long for the day. We long for the day when we will be with Jesus. And yet, you know, here's the struggle that I see with people. If this podium represents the world and this life, we like to hang on to it a little bit. And sometimes we white knuckle and we're grabbing it real tight. And there's a part where, again, you have a marriage, you have a wedding coming up, I get it. You got your life ahead of you, I get it. You want to see your grandkids, I get it. But there's a part where, in reality, we all hold it lightly. And as believers, that is our hope. We understand that. Now, my last little bullet point here is the benefits of heaven. What is it going to be like? And I know for some, it's like, you know, especially younger kids, it's like, oh, I don't want to fly through heaven playing on harps and all that stuff. That sounds like boring. But let me tell you, it's far better than we could ever imagine. The scripture says, eye have not seen, nor ear heard, nor mind can imagine what God has prepared for those that love him. There will be no more struggle. Any struggles in your heart and in your mind, those thoughts that attack us, the garbage of the past, all of that will be gone in heaven, which is great. In Revelation 21:4, it says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain anymore, for the old order of things has passed away. And so there is that great hope. And yes, the scripture says that the last enemy to be destroyed is death, and it is an enemy. But it's a defeated foe. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under his feet. And again, I wanted to say to young people, I have been with a bunch of people that are dying. Matter of fact, here's what I was going to do, and the staff and my wife talked me out of it. I was going to put, you know, those little word pictures where you put the word in there. I was going to put heaven up there. And then I was going to put all the names of all the funerals of the people that I've ever done and just kind of put them in a word picture. And I was going to leave like the N open because heaven's not full yet. You know, someday our name is in there, but then everyone talked me out of it because they said they're going to have people crying because, you know, so there's my, you know. But it's just a reality that we're going to be there soon. And young people, I'm telling you right now, I'm with people when they're dying. And when there is hope of the gospel, when there is a future home that we know that I will see my brother and sister, I will see my mom, I will see my friend in heaven, there is sadness. But there is hope-filled grieving, and it's a reality. It really is, and it's glorious. And then I see people who don't know Jesus there, and it's rough on them. They don't know what to do. They have no hope because this is the last time they're seeing the person that they love. And for us, it's like, you know, it's all good. I mean, yes, we're going to miss these people, but in Jesus, it's great. My heart never is sad for the person that dies. I'm, you know, maybe I should be. Maybe I'm cold-hearted. But they're with Jesus. They're in bonus time. This is going to be great for them. It's miserable for the people that are around them. But there's a verse that Jesus said, and he wasn't lying. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asks the question, do you believe this? And that's not just a word, but it is, it's really a challenge. Do you really believe? Because we have one short life to live here, and God wants to use you. We are his means by which he does his work. And so he has you here for a purpose. You're not just sucking up air. You're not just here in life. He wants to use you. And he'll use us all in different ways. But he wants to use you for his eternal purposes. And then we know when we die, we will be in his presence. And it will be glorious. And it will be eternal. And so live for eternity. Live now with the hope that, yep, you have things for me to do this week. How do I encourage people? How do I help people? How do I lead people to Jesus? Our goal is to help people make Christ the center of their lives. That's our motto here, helping people make Christ the center of their lives. And in some cases, that's bringing them to Jesus. In other cases, it's discipling them and helping them to see what it's all about and growing in Jesus. Because this is one little short life that we have, but it is glorious. And I want us as a church to not be so heavenly minded that we're not earthly good, but to be heavenly minded and out of that, do the good that he's prepared for us to do. Because this world is messed up. They're trying to come up with solutions to fix things that they're unable to do. Next week, we're going to take a little break from Psalms, and Pastor Jason's going to deal with one of those topics. That the world's trying to fix things that they can't fix. But the gospel does. And so we are his people. We are his ambassadors. We are his saints. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is our shepherd. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's good news. I pray that as we've gone through the psalm, that it would be one that we look at, that we revel in, and that we trust the Lord. And I'm going to have the band come forward at this time. But I want to pray for us. I guess I have a burden a lot for the younger people that you would realize that God, he wants to use you. He wants to use you and the amount of ministry potential that is here. And by young people, I mean 59 years and younger, because I just turned 50. But really, it's for all of us. Because I don't care if you're old or young. He wants to use you. And that whole part of he's shown you goodness and mercy. What do you leave in your wake? How are you being part of God's great plan to reach out to people? So I pray that God would work. Lord, I lift this church body to you. Lord, you know our hearts and minds. I pray that we would be fervent about the things that you are fervent about. Lord, you have been good to us, and you have been merciful to us. Lord, may we not be consumers that just take it all on ourselves and maybe say thank you every now and then. But Lord, may we be dispensers of your goodness and mercy and love to others. Lord, may we give them the help that they really need and could benefit from, and that is you, Lord. There's no greater thing than bringing people to you in one way, shape, or form. And so, Lord, help us to be good ambassadors, faithful servants, to do what you have called us to do for your glory. Lord, I pray for every one of us, young and old, that we would be passionate about you. So we will thank you, Lord. Change us this day. Give us divine appointments, even this afternoon, for your glory. And all God's people said, amen. Please stand and let's sing.
You never stop working.
worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
I conclude with the last verse in Jude, verse 24 and 25, which says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forevermore." And all God's people said, amen.
See it, you're working.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working.